The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Where you been?
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
He's been everywhere. Oh, yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Jefferson State of Mind.
Broadcasting live on KCNR, downtown Reading. Our studio is in the heart of this beautiful, beautiful area we are blessed to live in.
Yes, it is.
We are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And you can hear us on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. Thank you for joining our soiree of liberty.
And if you keep getting bumped on 96.5 FM, there's 1460 AM. You can trip over to it if you're in the Reading area. And then, if not, then go to the online KCNR1460.com to listen, because for whatever reason, technical difficulties only happen on Sundays, where we all get kind of blacked out a little bit here and there once in a while, and today is one of those days. So just let your fingers do the walking on all that stuff, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, I'm glad to hear all that. I've been gone. I didn't know any of that stuff. Has this happened to you the last couple of Sundays?
Oh, yeah. It's been happening for a bit. Oh. And today is no different. It's been happening today.
Yeah, well, I was on the East Coast. It was gorgeous there. By the way, you can go to Maine, or you can go to Connecticut. You can go to Boston, down in the heart of Boston. You can go to Vermont. You can go to New Hampshire. You can go to Martha's Vineyard. And the highest price I saw for gas on the East Coast was $3.65 a gallon.
And did they pump the gas for you at that price?
Some places do.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, $3.65 a gallon.
So what does that tell you what California is doing to us?
Oh, yeah, that guy. At 9:30, we have James Bradley. He'll be calling in. He's running for Senate. But in the interim, I want to
for
talk
for U.S. To Senate.
Didn't I say running for Senate?
You said Senate, but I'm just making sure people understand.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. U.S.
Yes.
Senate.
Yes.
Is there a state Senate run? Do we actually have a state senator? Oh, wait. Isn't it 32-8 Democrats?
Yes,
so we have eight of them, right? Okay, so Megan Daly, so a lot that of great conservative, is going to be our next senator, it looks like, huh?
We'll see.
Who's she running against? That's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. Who's on first?
That's about what it is.
She's running, and we have David Fennell running, who is a transplant from, I'm not really sure where. Do you know where he's from?
The Bay Area. He moved over to Chico, just directly across over to Chico so that he could run for a Senate race. He's run multiple different races over the years and was trying to get his foot in the door and just hasn't quite made it yet. So he's trying Senate District 1. We'll see. Then there's also Charlotta Bassett, who is from Butte County, who is also throwing her hat in the ring.
Why does that ring a bell?
Because she was down at Glad Tidings before and talked about all kinds of stuff, and that's where she threw her hat in the ring, as Glad Tidings. There's a video out with her on it.
Oh, okay. What does she stand for?
Well, it's hard to tell. She just talked about her life experiences and her son being in the military and talked about, different things, but it's hard to tell.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Thanks, Wim.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure glad to be back. That was clear as mud. Okay, but these guys, now from what I understand, you were talking about when is it that they have to declare to run? And it doesn't it depend on whether they're incumbents or not, or different offices, or explain that to the folks.
Well, incumbents and office holders, say for the Board of Supervisors, filing date deadline is December 8th. You have to have all your paperwork in by December 8th. If you're running, say, for different other committees that are out there, say like the central committees, then that is November 5th, I believe, is the date. Let me double check on that so I don't end up lying to you as soon as my system pops up here. That will be November 8th. Yeah, November 8th. So December 8th and November 8th.
Okay, so if it's December 8th, then, see, one of the things we've been hearing is for District 2 in Shasta County that Tim Garmon may not be running again. Well, I guess my question is, why did he ask for a raise? What does he want to raise?
There's always speculation about any incumbent running or not. There's speculation about Mary running or not, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows until December 9th.
Yeah.
You won't know until December 9th.
I agree. Well, we know Sloan's running because Dan Sloan said he was.
Yes. Yes.
And we know a guy named, what's his name? Starts with a W.
I don't know.
Some guy. Running for District 3. Some guy. So, you know, I think that a lot of the speculation we have, we won't really know until the fat lady sings.
That's correct.
And I think that as far as Garmin goes, again, you know, all this speculation, well, why would you ask for a raise? Why would you be insistent on a raise? I mean,
political
suicide? So you can
help
a person who takes your job?
Political suicide? Well, they haven't had raises since 2002, according to some stats that are out there and information.
Well, some of the people they compared it to, like with El Dorado County, you couldn't buy a home in El Dorado County for what you can sell a home for here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that you're talking about Placerville.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a lot of money. You're talking about million-dollar homes out there.
Bedroom community to Sacramento.
Bedroom community.
Yeah.
You know, and also the wages that people are paid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the comparisons they made with the wages of what we make here in Shasta County as an elected official supervisor and some of the, I mean, what they say about Tehama County is like 12 grand a year, something crazy like that. It's something very low.
See, I didn't hear that discussion. So I'm not
And that's
sure.
terrible. They should make more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I agree with that. You know, but again, a lot of people say, well, it has to be at least a living wage. Well, are you in there as a career? If you are, then you're the wrong person to get my vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the thing is, now, do they need more money? Probably. I mean, probably. I mean, 50 grand right now, where, you know, 20 years ago, that was good money. 50 grand right now barely gets a family of four across the threshold.
Well, what they could do, instead of offering the benefits for life, just offer a higher salary, remove the benefit factor and the retirement factor.
Oh, the union would love that.
Or just have the, well, are they unionized?
Are they unionized?
The Board of Supervisors?
It doesn't matter. The thing is that the pensions and everything else, CalPERS and all that good stuff, I mean, you control all that.
That's going down the slop chute at some point anyway. So.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing that for 20 years.
Yeah.
I hope it does. Not well, I don't mean I hope it does. I hope it gets corrected.
Corrected,
That's the thing. Bear with me, folks. I'm still in sort of like travel mode. The last place I was at was San Mateo County. It was amazing.
That's liberal Mecca.
Well, you know, I was invited to come to the in the same building before I was doing the seminars I did for a couple of days there. I was invited to come into the California Republican Assembly of San Mateo County's mm-hmm. endorsement group.
Okay.
And it was amazing to me, of all the candidates, the words jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification, which those of you who know me probably hear that every other sentence, they had no clue. I mean, all the things that a lot of them wanted to run on, they had no jurisdiction to do. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, California needs voter ID, says a guy running for Congress. Oh, okay, well, how are you going to do that, right?
Yeah.
You're running for Congress, not your jurisdiction. So,
that's right.
But it was amazing, some amazing people down there. What was really enjoyable about all these things that we've been doing, it's been about the last 8 weeks, is that you have Los Angeles County, Ventura County, Riverside County, who got rid of their Kathy Darling Allen. I'm going to say that again. They got rid of their Kathy Darling Allen. And it was easier to do because of the fact that, and I'm not advocating this, because there's two ways you can go in a county for California. You can either elect your ROV officer or you can have the Board of Supervisors appoint that ROV officer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's, you know, and either way, it's a little tougher. I like the election better myself.
Yeah, people choose.
Yeah, I like that better. I know that years ago, the city of Reading wanted to go ahead and
with the clerk?
Yeah.
The city clerk? Yeah.
Yeah, so rent a clerk. Mm-hmm. Let's rent a clerk. So, I mean, it was kind of the thing where, you know, when you see all these different things happening in the different counties and the differences, it's pretty amazing. But what I was impressed with is just the people. I was impressed with the turnout. I was impressed with the people. I was impressed that seven of those people who were running for office stayed for the 2 days to hear my BS.
So did they learn a few things?
I think they did.
And good.
I'm not bragging here, but, hey, Babe Ruth said if you can do it, it ain't bragging.
That's right.
So the point is that, you know, that's what's going on here in California. People are really willing to change things. And guess what we were talking about, Wynn? Guess what we were talking about.
I'm scared to guess. Come on, brother. I have no idea.
Come on. State split.
Really?
Well, you know why? Because they understand apportionment now.
Oh.
And they're finally realizing it's 32-8 in the Senate, Democrat.
So they had their eyes wide open, huh?
I mean, they certainly pulled their eyelids back over their They did. And I think I talked to a couple of people who are running for assembly who are great men, great guys, to run for supervisor.
Oh.
Yeah. Explain to them that there's a lot more power there.
And locally?
Maybe, yeah. Well, the thing is it affects your life more.
It does.
And let's face it, a lot of people here in Shasta County, even as educated as we are, and folks, I'll tell you what, this is the most educated county when it comes to understanding procedure of how elections are done, of how people are, the Board of Supervisors run, how your city councils are run, blah, 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 blah. We are tremendously educated. So if you're out there, quietly give yourself a hand because you guys are amazing. I said quietly, Lynn.
I did.
I know. So the thing is that when you look at everything in perspective, people are waking up everywhere. I always believed that in a state split situation, we had to have something to where it can't be that up here in the North State, we get ours.
And you don't get yours?
You don't get yours. But now it's sort of like we want ours too. So how do we do that? How does that work? Blah, blah, blah. And it was amazing. It was just, I can't tell you how great it was. And I won't go into all the details because I won't bore everybody with it. But I want to get back to these elections again. Dan Slum is running for District 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, you know, unless Garmin runs, I don't think there's anybody else running. I don't think. I don't know that.
Well, we heard.
Have you heard?
We heard of one yesterday
that
kind of surprised us all. That's a one of the opposition that's always sitting on the left side of the room at the board meetings that always goes up to the podium and chastises everybody. She works for 14 counties and does all this other stuff. So if you're paying attention to the board meetings, you know who she is.
Was she a Girl Scout?
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. I think I know who you're talking about.
Because it hasn't been officially said, so I don't want to give their name out, but... she's always very aggressive toward the board members, always.
Does this person happen to like libation?
Oh, yeah. They've got DUIs to prove it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's all public record.
Really?
Yeah.
And she wants to run for?
BOS, District 2.
Wow. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, people make mistakes, no big deal. I'm not even saying anything in regards to that particular issue. What I'm saying is that how can somebody who's liberal run for District 2 and think they have a chance in hell of winning? Because when Garmin ran, he just simply had three things he ran on and then changed his mind and went to the left on all three things he ran on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was something that I did tell people down there, and this is the thing, and some people don't like it when this is said, but if you're counting on a vote every 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years, if you're counting on a ballot to change your life and to change your government, you're sadly mistaken. Because guess what? People get elected, and then they don't do what they say they're going to do. We have a perfect example of that, don't we, in District 2. You get elected, but you don't do what you said you were going to do. So I think vetting the people is a little bit better. I mean, sometimes when you vet somebody, you have the people that are ready to fall on their sword for the candidate.
Yep.
And then you have the people that are ready to take the sword and cut off the person's head. But I think that we have to do some serious vetting and some understanding, really, of what these people can do, will do, should do, and hold them accountable to it. I like the idea of the term limits in Shasta County. I hope we do have a vote on that. Well, we are going to have a vote on that, from what I understand. Yes?
We'll see.
You know?
We'll see.
We don't know if that's going to be...
I don't know. We'll see if it gets put on the ballot.
Well, that's my question. We don't know whether or not...
I don't know that for sure.
For some reason, I thought they were going to do that, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody can call and let us know and straighten us out on that deal. So I think that we have also the issue with Kathy Darling Allen. I mean, from what I saw, I watched the whole board meeting. We were a little bit pooped when we got back from our trip, and a bit under the weather. Everybody's fine now. Sal's fine now, and I'm doing fine. But we watched the board meeting that Kevin Cry alluded to this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it online. It was really informative. It was good. I think that Kevin Cry brought up the fact that Patrick Jones had mentioned and had told the people of the county of Shasta that he saved them $500,000 because he wouldn't take retirement and he wouldn't take
the benefits.
Mm-hmm. When he said that, and only one side of the room clapped, I found that appalling too. And I know Kevin Cry pointed that out, and I applaud Kevin for doing that. I think he was right about that. I mean, it's gotten so bad that even if something is good and somebody's doing something that the left is saying that they believe they should do, that's be financially responsible. And these guys are saying, hey, we're not taking this, we're not taking that to save the county money. That should be applauded. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on.
Exactly.
And to have that situation, I mean, to where...
That just tells you how fiscally conservative he is to do that, right? I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, it just... Well, not only that, but I mean, that's...
He's not in it for the money.
Yeah, I didn't see Mary turning that down. Or yeah. Garmin. Oh, Garmin. Oh, boy. What a piece of work he is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you stop and think about this thing, really and truly. District 2 is a fairly conservative district.
Yes.
More conservative than District 1. And I think that, you know, I would like to see more than one person run for District 2. And I'd also like to see an honest vetting of whoever runs for anything, you know. And I think that the transparency position should be something that we really have. To me, there's nothing worse than a person who's running for office that dances around the issues. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, and then when you make a commitment like Garmin did, and then three times to make that commitment saying he's going to do something and days before change his mind is unbelievable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more about our government to make sure we can hold people accountable than we have. And again, it goes back to holding their feet to the fire, not being so idealistic as that, oh, this person or that person, just so great, they're just so great. You don't know, they're just so great. Did I say they were great? They're really great. Because in a lot of cases, you're never going to really know that candidate. I mean, really, really know that candidate. You want to have some kind of inkling about where they're going to go with things, especially with things they have jurisdiction over. Not just their philosophy on this or their philosophy on that or, you know, this person's really a good guy or this gal is really a good gal, but where they're going to go specifically on things to help the county. I'm going to go back to this one more time about Patrick saying and all these guys that are on the board right now, they're not taking retirement or not taking medical or not taking both. I mean, they should be applauded. I don't care who it is. They should be applauded for wanting to save their county money and for being fiscally responsible, which is exactly what the left has been crabbing about on this machine deal.
Yeah, agreed.
So if you were to look at three things in the county or maybe one thing in the county, or two things, whatever you feel comfortable with. What particular things would you look at first that you think we would need to do?
Just specifically for the county?
Specifically for the county, because let's just say hypothetically that you actually have a vote in this thing. Okay.
Well, hypothetically, I'd be looking for a forensic audit. Because that's any time in my former life I took over a business, the first thing we did was audit the business and find out what's going on. And you don't always find out what you need to find out in a basic audit. Forensic audit, that'll give you more detail. And even though it costs more money and it takes more time, it's well worth the money spent because then it will tell you exactly what's going on with it. It may surprise you. It may open your eyes. It may surprise you in a good way. It may surprise you in a bad way. It'll open your eyes in a good way or a bad way. So you'll find out exactly where you stand. and then you know where to move forward from that point. You know what you need to do to either correct it, fix it, applaud it, whatever, and move forward. And that's what I would be looking for on several different departments. And not every department would need to have that done.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, not every department would need that. However, there are some departments that absolutely need to have it done.
Okay, so you would prioritize maybe four or five departments that we should do that immediately with. Is that what you're thinking of, several? Or?
Correct, yeah. Okay. And I know, again, that's, you're spending money to find out what you have, but, again, it's worth the investment in doing that so the taxpayers understand where you're at with it. When the report comes out, that it'll be open to the taxpayers. They can see what's going on, and the board can move forward with that and have a great understanding of what they've got going and where to move forward with it. And to sometimes you have to clean things up from those reports. It's that it'll tell you what you need to, what you have, and then it'll open your eyes to, okay, well, we need to clean this department up somehow, somewhere, and it'll help you get, it'll help give you directive on doing that.
We do have a caller on the line. Stones, we have you on the line.
Hello.
What you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Lots. There's always lots happening.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes, and then we've got a caller coming on, so shoot away. Here you go.
Okay, I'll try to get it in. There's a lot.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I sent you all some information yesterday via email. California Department of Justice is still knocking on people's doors. And it happened here in Shasta County a couple days ago. The state was trying to make people register their lawfully purchased and possessed rifles of certain sorts, that scheme basically turned into confiscation for people that turned in pictures that looked questionable. And so it happened again last week right here in Shasta. They showed up to a man's door who attempted to follow the unconstitutional law to register your already lawfully possessed rifle, and they showed up. I heard it was 3 years later after he attempted to register, but by looking at the story, it's probably a year and a half ago he tried to register. But still, a year and a half later, they're showing up and saying, "We need to look at your rifle. You tried to register," and he let him in. They have no warrant. They looked at it and said, yep, this is the one in the picture, it's illegal, and then they took it from him and said they're going to destroy it. So, being a former law enforcement, I'd like to give people a little bit of advice. So if cops show up to your door, don't let them in without a warrant. Ask them if they have a warrant. If they do not have a warrant, say, am I being detained? And if like you have to ask that question, am I being detained? Am I free to go? And their answer should be yes. Because if they're just investigating an administrative violation, remember that this is all administrative for the most part, but if they're investigating a legitimate crime, then they do have the authority to detain you to the investigation. But in this case, a lot of times you can just call their bluff. And if they're not detaining you, if you're free to go, then you ask them to leave your property. And if they do not, then you call your local jurisdiction, whether that be police or sheriff. And you say, there are people here purporting to be state agents, and they are refusing to leave my property. I want them trespassed. And you just start pushing it. You have to do that. So it's unfortunate this gentleman's rifle was taken. That's just my latest update on that. But, I mean, I have a couple other things. I just know the time's short.
Well, my question would be on that. Is this specific person, why did they single out one person and come here just for one person? It seems to me like that's a little strange. Do you have any feedback on that?
Oh, I believe somebody just said, hey, since we hate Shasta County so much and we like to mess with them at every chance possible, whether they pass a law or whatever, they probably decided to come up and mess with Shasta County. That's my opinion.
Would this person be someone that people may know? I know that it's probably not wise to give out the name, but would this be somebody who is who people would know or recognize the name, or just your average guy?
This person is a local business owner, well respected, and if you saw this person in public or talked to them, they would be. So not they don't garner attention. They're just a very quiet, polite person.
So they're more like me and less like Terry.
What are you laughing about? You're a lot like me, Stones.
Yeah. Hey, there's only room for one bull in this China shop, Terry.
There you go.
All right, Stones. Thank you, buddy. And
thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
And
all right. Have a good day.
You bet.
Sad that it happened, but it's good to know that it happened.
Yeah, it's good to know. And during the breakup, you probably saw the email and blah, blah.
Yep, I did.
Anyway, we do have a guest who's going to be coming on after the break here. So, James, my good friend, hang on. We'll get to you right after the break, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
As a way to pay our respects and show gratitude to all the men and women who have served our country, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to invite you to join us for our Veterans Day special on Saturday, November 11th. Come in, relax, and let us serve you. Present your military ID and enjoy a free two-egg starter breakfast in Creekside and a free prime rib dinner in Seasons. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
If you love me, it's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you want. There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. Is it all there is to say?
Sally Lou, did she send that song to you, Christina?
I like it.
No, first time here.
Sally didn't send that?
No.
Oh, that was a good choice, whoever sent it. However we got it.
Yeah. Did you do that, Christina?
I just randomly choose it.
Good choice.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we're back. This is Wynn Carpenter. My left.
Yep.
You really should be on my right. Terry Raposa, we're streaming live.
Terry's on my extreme right.
Yes. Yeah. I am always on the right. Talking about being on the right, we have a friend here, James Bradley, who is running for Senate, for the United States Senate, for the state of California. How are you, my friend? What's going on, bud?
Hi, Terry, my brother. Doing well here. I've been up since dark 34 o'clock this morning talking about what's happening in Israel, Ukraine, and now, of course, our southern border.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into that, I really want to get into the what's going on with the border and also how the parents' rights are declining here, not only in California but the United States. But before we get into all that, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, I'm originally from the East Coast. Rhode Island's my home. Oh. And I came out here, go west, young man, and I did, and landed here back in the early 80s. And yes, I'm not old, by the way. Then I joined the United States Coast Guard, served under Ronald Reagan, probably one of the greatest presidents in American history, and did a lot of law enforcement on the panhandle of Florida, did a lot of intervention against the Colombian cartels. So that's where I got my feet wet in what it means about our national security and protecting our borders. So I can speak on that a little bit later. Then I joined the healthcare community, started, you know, early on, and I kind of raced through the ranks and spent about 30 years in the healthcare space and kind of left to join politics back in 2018 when I first entered politics, and that was when I first ran against Dianne Feinstein, late Dianne Feinstein. So here we are, fast forward to today. I'm at it once again as a veteran, as a father trying to protect my child, and I think I have enough of, I think, political savvy to bring back our constitutional republic, because that's what we truly are, and I speak loud and clear. I'm kind of known as the badass on Twitter, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, go to @JamesBradleyCA, and you can get a little taste of the slices. I'm attacking everybody, trying to bring back we the people so we have a voice in D.C. and as well as the state of California.
You know, and I think that I think it's really great. You know, one thing that, you know, I've known you for quite some time now, and I think that really and truly what I really like about you as a candidate, what I like about you as a brother and as a friend, is you're real. And I think that was the thing that really made it to where Trump could relate to everybody, because he was understanding the fact that he didn't have time for BS, and neither did the American people. And I think the idea of really being yourself and standing on some positions, and I'm thrilled to hear your take on immigration, because by gosh, by golly, as you and I have talked about in these seminars we've been doing, jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification is something you understand, my friend. So let's give us your take on what's going on with the border, and what would you do to stand to try to fix it, to interpose. Go ahead.
Well, we really don't have a border at this point. In fact, they had the California Republican Assembly endorsement that took place yesterday, and I said, no, I need to go down. I have to go down to the border. I have to get the real news. Drove all that way and camped out in front of CBP, Center Border Patrol, and I was trying to get the first-hand information. And this is what's going on the border, folks. This year, fiscal year, we had 736 known terrorists caught. And those are the ones we caught across the border. And now what's happening in Israel was plain as day, that the Islamic terrorists have a Western nations now starting over in Israel. They are doing their national takeover. It's because international takeover. So working with the Coast Guard, and that's now part of the Department of Homeland Security, I know what the infrastructure is, the measures we take. So I want to get a first-hand look in interview with your public affairs officer. So I'm on this because without borders, without a wall, without, you know, non-deployed troops on the border now, we don't have a sovereign nation. So I put a lot of effort into that because truly that is our war. That is the United States war as we speak.
You know, and you know the thing again. You know, your boots on the ground. You're on that. In fact, I've kidded you a lot of times. You know, do you ever sleep? You know, and I think that I think the thing is that we need somebody who's going to stand there and stand for the people. Now, I know that you. As being a parent, I know that you are just seeing the declining parents' rights. all across the United States and in California. And I know that federally there's not quite as much as you could do as far as you can't really have a referendum on some of these crazy laws that they're passing in our legislative body in the state of California when it comes to the schools and these crazy things, that horrible things, these atrocious things, these despicable things that are being passed that they're doing to our children, and what they're doing as far as the education of our children, the books they read, blah, blah, blah. What is it exactly in looking at this? And I just to even talk about the fact that we have to have parental rights, I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's a God-given. Anyway, I'd like to hear your thoughts and your take on that, and again, some of the positions you can take on that as a Senate for us, for the great state of California. At least I think it was a great state. Go ahead.
Well, unfortunately, we have a very extremely liberal uniparty state, and we know that Newsom, and I did watch some of those videos that you put together in interviews with a good friend of ours that's running for state senate up there. Amazing interview there. But Newsom, he is pushing for president. Now, back what's happening here in California. Being a father, being a protector of my family, and I answer to the highest authority, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. What they're trying to push, and they just passed through Senate, is AB 957. Why is that so important to us? Because that tells you, just went brain dead for a moment. That just gives open authority for the government to go and intervene and remove the child from the home and arrest the parent if they have issue. So, and those are the ones that they've been pushing the gender affirmation. I call it child mutilation. So that's the bill right now. It's the biggest threat to parental rights. So I've been with an organization, actually a union, a California Parents Union. We're fighting in Sacramento against these I call satanic bills that are basically promoting pedophilia.
Yeah.
So I'm working hard in Sacramento. I'm going to the school boards to call them out because where they're putting this pornography in the schools. And we had some big wins down here in Southern California, Temecula School District.
Right.
Did a great thing. Then, of course, that was met with Gavin Newsom saying, I think we're going to remove the authority from the board level up to Sacramento. So it's a constant fight against Sacramento, and, of course, that's Gavin Newsom.
Now, as our senator, our United States senator for the state of California, what could you do jurisdictionally to fight this? I mean, of course, being supportive and understanding the issue like you do, and being in a position where maybe you can influence some of these Republicans that are elected, maybe to push a referendum. What is it that you could do? What's your thought process on what you could do from Washington?
I can author a bill. There's been several that's been presented for parental rights. I believe they did a phenomenal job in Florida. But let's make that the national parental bill of rights. And I believe Jim Jordan did a version of it, and there's a few others. But we need to make that, you know, that God-given right to be the law of the land. So no state can actually undo that law.
Could you go with an amendment to the Constitution?
Well, that would be a tough one, but we can certainly talk about that because I go to you, my friend, for constitutional strategy, and that's what I love about my friends and family up in your area.
Title 8, Code Section 1324, is a federal felony about harboring and shielding illegal aliens. That's the United States Code. And you and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
We haven't had anybody introduce or try to set up a commission or a committee to say, hey, we need to look into these states, especially like California, and especially the legislative bodies, even as far down as the cities go. But I know statewide, because of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 in the United States Constitution, in which you, my friend, as the Senate and as the part of the legislative body of the state of California, have jurisdiction over naturalization. So that's why the border is so important, and that's why I love the fact that you're running and you're pushing hard on the border, because you have jurisdiction over that. Now, Title 8 Code Section 1324, that's a violation that Gavin Newsom is doing right now by harboring and shielding illegal aliens. It's a federal felony. Is there a way you could, have you thought about that at all, or how we can go after these people? Because statewide we really can't, but federally we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we would have to. That's what I love about our conversations, because we'd strategize and we could go from strategy to tactics and do commissions and committees. So I want to weigh in with you on that specific topic to really refine it, because this is how I work, folks. I know my limitations. I go to those that are more versed in the authorities in which those topics. When it comes to border protection, I think I have a pretty good understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Constitution, who do I go to? I go to my friends right here on this interview. So that's where we're going to spend some time together, and we're going to create either a bill or whatever we need to do to get this enforced throughout every state.
You know, someone who would be really great to have in on that conversation is Mark Baird. Just about everything Gwen and I have ever learned was from Mark Baird and Chris Ann Hall. And then, of course, there's setting outside of that we did, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to the Constitution and it comes to the United States Code, Mark's amazing. But you're right. We need to do something to stop these people in their tracks. I mean, everybody's saying, well, gee whiz, we need to stop these criminals, but nobody knows how to do it. Well, we have Title 8 Code Section 1324 right in front of us. It's just, how do we get that out there to make sure that's being enforced? And again, because of the corruption we have in Washington, D.C., which I'm excited that, again, so much that you're running, and you're standing for something like this, and you're willing to say, hey, let's sit down, let's get a game plan together so we can get these people not only out of office, but get them where they belong, and frankly, a lot of them behind bars, I'll just say it.
So,
now, tell me about your competition. Now, who are your opponents, and what's your thought process on that? Go ahead, if you're comfortable with that.
Oh, absolutely. I love this. I have to say, by the way, I do not live in or reside in Maryland, so so that's one thing. That probably knocks me out of the lineup, because that seems to be the choice. Currently, we have the sitting of the appointed one that replaced Dianne Feinstein. She's a resident of Maryland. And we found out just recently that Adam Schiff, he resides in Maryland. He has a condominium in his district, 600 and some odd square feet, but his main residence is based in Maryland. So those two. And by the way, the other ones would be Katie Porter and Barbara Lee. They are pro-Hamas, I'm finding. Anyone that's with or supporting Palestine in any stretch, because you know that Hamas is in place because of 93% of those that voted them in power. So that's the Democrat lineup. And on the Republican lineup, we have a baseball legend that has a lot of extramarital affairs. That's Stephen Garvey. Then we have another gentleman that's run, they call him a perennial candidate. Some of them really do like Mr. Early, and I do have respect for him, but I think that's where he and I differ, is because I'm the boots on the ground. I'm the one that's engaging. I'm the one that's doing things, not waiting to get in office. I'm doing it today. So that's kind of a lineup as we speak. The polls came out last week. Now that Garvey announced he's in third position, and Barbara Lee is in fourth, I'm in the fifth position. But I got a feeling between now and our election, you're going to see that whole change based on what's happening internationally, as well as the news that's going to get out there, not only about my competition, but the great work that we are doing. We, the people, are doing on the ground, and we're doing some great things.
I agree. I think that I think that's been the whole trend here, is the boots on the ground. Trump got it right out of everybody, I believe, because he went right to the people.
Exactly.
It wasn't so much he was going to try to persuade his his comrades or the people in that are running for office. And again, you know, we always go back to the story. He's running against 17 establishment Republicans.
Yes.
You know, and you know, he was so nice to them. What was it?
Yes,
Lion
so nice.
Ted.
He broke it down every one of them.
The funniest thing I saw was when he was during that debate. He looks over at Jeb Bush because Jeb Bush had said something. He goes, "Jeb, why are you even here?"
That's funny. It's so true today, too. You know, like even my Republican opponents, they're doing their best to travel up another state to get their voice out there. And I'm looking at everybody going, what are they doing today? I mean, it's all fair and good. You know, you can win over the votes and you can collect a lot of money doing this. But my measure, and I think that's where everyone should be measuring or elevating the bar a bit, is that, hey, if they're going to be in office, the telltale is what they are doing presently. If they're not fighting against these child mutilation bills, if they're not fighting to save our hard-earned tax money from going over to proxy wars in Ukraine, if they're not saving the U.S. citizens out of Afghanistan, which I was part of, if they're not, you can go down the list of things that are happening in our world today. If we wait to 2024, will we have a nation? And that's why I said, no, I can't wait. I'm not going to tour the state and do my stump speeches, because where my expertise is saving lives and also addressing the issues by coming up with the solutions. So, but what the best, this happened in 2020 when I got wind that our veterans, homeless veterans, are being abused at the VA there and they were pushed out on the street. I dropped everything. I said, no, I'm going to get up there, going to assess the conditions. So I brought in some teams. We got them some tents. We put some American flags up there so they felt they had some level of dignity again. Gave them the food, gave them the carts, gave them the sleep bags. That's the engagement people need to see and feel. But more importantly, those people that are in dire straits and need to see. Because as an elected official, we're going to be measured based on the promises you keep. I'm saying I'm giving those promises today and keeping those today, and I'm not waiting to be sworn in.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's amazing, and I know how hard you work, and I know that you're out there. You know, I know. I mean, you're the one I get the text from. You know, at 4:30 in the morning. You know, and I know that you've been up, and you're already starting the fight. And I think that's the thing where we need to start understanding. We need to support people who want to run for office, who have something on the ball, who understand what their job is. I think, to me, it's very, very impressive the work you've done with the veterans and the different things you've done. And also, you've been involved in trying to get some of our folks out of third world countries that have had some real issues. And, of course, when when Biden kind of just decided he was just going to leave our folks, you know, in harm's
stranded,
way.
Stranded, yeah.
In harm's way.
Killed,
I know you've been working on that. Can you share any of that you're doing with the folks?
Yeah, that was the fall of Kabul. That was the biggest embarrassment, betrayal of Biden. And being never leaving a person behind. Mm-hmm. That's the last campaign I ran. It was in 2022, right, for U.S. Senate. I said, no, this is more important than running a campaign, traveling up and down the state, doing my stump speeches. So I dropped it. I said, okay, I put together a nonprofit organization that collaborated with other boots on the ground organizations. And by the way, those relationships still exist. And we were able to get most of the U.S. citizens, but some of them we couldn't find out of Afghanistan. And also the vetted allies that served alongside the U.S. troops for 20 years, doctors, nurses, attorneys, judges, in those in that community, we were able. The last count I got, and still these operations are still underway, we were able to save about 15,000 of the many 100,000 or so that are still behind enemy lines. So that's the big difference. And I just put my background and experience and organizational skills to work with people, bring the right resources together to get the job done.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing is, too, is that I want you to know, as I told everyone, you can use this particular link. You know, this we do podcast worldwide, but we archive. And, Christina, we archive what? Within about 10 minutes after this program is over, correct?
About 5 minutes. Even faster, like 5 minutes after.
5 minutes after. Because
she's on it.
Because she's on it. It's our Christina. She's on it.
Yep.
And so anyway, so if in fact you want to share this, in fact, I suggest you share this, and I know there's some people that have already, Tina and some other people that want to get this link that called me last night. We'll make sure this gets out there. I think it's amazing that someone that really is one of us, and I think you're one of the few people who are running for office that really are, you get down, you understand the boots on the ground, you understand we don't have a lot of time, and you understand the fact that, hey, if we're going to do something, we need to do it now.
Hey, James, this is Wynn. I just wanted to ask you, too, what is the number one big thing that you want to put forward when you get going? What do you want to work on? What's your, you know, your dog in, you're the dog in the hunt here, so what is your big thing that you want to improve on, fix, remedy, what have you, introduce? What is it?
Well, you need to, in the beginning, it's the border right now. That is our, that's the war we're fighting because we have the cartels. So that's number one. The 100 days, of, and that's where we're going to sit down, by the way, engaging. And Terry knows me very, very well. In fact, when he told me about the red, white blueprint, I said, damn, I love this, Terry. We got to do, we got to spread this across all California. And by the way, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Terry, you're doing it. And Christine, I have to tell you, a good choice of a song. I just love that one going in. So that's what it's all about now. It's the, you know, I'm not a politician. Let's just be real. I came out of a semi-retirement mode saying, hey, you know, I'm called to action here, and that's what we're doing, and that's what a lot of us in our generation are doing today.
Mm-hmm.
We're being reemployed, and that's exactly the way I view it.
Well, that's perfect.
Now, how can people get a hold of you, and how can people donate to your campaign? How can people help you so that you can help
all of us?
All of us. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's easy. Bradley Senate, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y, Senate.com. Go there. You can see the platform. You can see my background, being from a family, 9 children, fighting for scraps on the table, so I know what it means to work hard to get food. Yeah, BradleySenate.com. Go there, check it out. And there is a donation link I recommend, because this is going to be a pretty doggone expensive one for us. But just think of it, I'm the tip of the spear for you. I speak your language, our language. We're God-loving people. We're just done with this tyranny that we're seeing in D.C. in the state capitol here. And if you want to be, you want to bring change, I'll take the hard hits for you. I'm used to it. I got super thick skin. And, you know, being a third-generation veteran, I'm kind of designed for this. So now is the time to get engaged.
That's
I'll
awesome.
Tell you, brother, this is great stuff. And we will be doing some podcasts and things like that. I'll get a hold of you about that. But we really need to get the word out on people like yourself, genuine people who are saying, hey, it's time for me to stand up. It's time for me to do something. You've served our country. Thank you, my good friend. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got about 2 minutes here, so I want to give you the last word on that. Bring us home, brother.
Yeah, we've all experienced it. We're feeling the pain, the pump. We're seeing it at our grocery stores. We're seeing it in our neighborhoods. And no neighborhood, no zip code is safe now with the child pedophilia going on and the child sex trafficking. I haven't talked about that. Actually, we're putting some safe houses together right now to get people out of the trafficking. So all about engagement. You're feeling the pain as we are. You're going out of retirement to make ends meet. People are fleeing the state of California. And, by the way, they're abusing our children. We cannot, as parents or just as adults, allow this to continue. So I'm saying, if you feel that pain, if you want to get engaged, if you want to be part of this solution, it's not rhetoric. It's not getting up on a podium somewhere screaming loudly. This is about actually doing the job that should be done and not waiting to get in office. So if you want to be part of this army, this movement to save our great nation, join my team, our team, We the People team, because it's not right or left anymore. It is us. We're feeling it. And people are dying around us from the fentanyl coming across our border. So if you believe in this, and I hope you do, and if you do pray, pray for us. But if you want to contribute, you know, with small dollar donations, because I'm known as the grassroots small dollar donation kind of guy, you know, send it my way if you want to be part of this campaign, and I recommend you do because we need that army. Join this army because now's the time. Because honestly, that past.